message of grace is brought to you by Christian people who believe the Bible to be the Word of God and who appreciate its power and authority. Within the pages of the Bible itself, there is a God-given design for its study. Rightly dividing the Word of truth is the key to understanding the Bible. We're glad you've joined us for another interesting look into God's infallible book as Richard Jordan, president of Grace School of the Bible, presents another in a series of messages designed to help you understand and enjoy the Bible. Let's join them now.
We're certainly glad you've joined us today. We trust that our time together in God's Word will prove a real blessing and help to you. As once again, we're going to look at Romans chapter number 8, verse number 26 and 27, where the Apostle Paul talks about prayer. And once again, we're glad to have Leon Anderson with us today. And, you know, as you discuss the issue of prayer, and as you think about your prayer life, it's really important to understand how prayer works. And if there's a verse of Scripture in the Bible that demonstrates how it works today, it's Romans 8, verse 26. Paul says, "Likewise, the Spirit also helps our infirmities, our weaknesses. For we know not what to pray for as we ought." Now, if there's anything about prayer that I know fits your situation and mine, it's that. We don't really know how we ought to pray or how to pray as we ought. We know how prayer works today, you know, the doctrinal issues and that kind of thing. But how to take that and apply it like you'd think you could to the details of life, that's a different thing. That's our infirmity. That's our weakness. We don't know how God can best be glorified in any given situation in our life. Therefore, he says, but the contrast, our weakness, but the Spirit's ministry. The Spirit itself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. The Holy Spirit enters in, goes right down to the very deepest level of our human need and can deal with that. He that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. You know, prayer and the will of God in your life go hand in hand. That's why it's prayer and the Word of God that go together. In fact, there are two things that the Scriptures say are used to perfect the believer. Paul talks about the perfecting of the saints. In 2 Timothy 3, verse number 16, Paul says, "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, throughly furnished, completely and totally furnished, throughly furnished unto all good works." You're going to be perfected, number one, by the Word of God. As you take in an understanding of divine viewpoint out of the written Word of God, there is a maturing and a perfecting and a bringing to the full purpose for which God has put you into Christ. But the other thing that perfects the saints, Colossians chapter 4, verse number 12, we read this, "Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, saluteth you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that you may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God." Epaphras was not just teaching them the Word of God, but he was laboring fervently in prayer for them. In other words, not only does it take the Word of God to perfect the saint, it also takes prayer. Because prayer is the thing that energizes the doctrine in our soul. When he says, "The Spirit itself maketh intercession with us," and the Spirit also helps our intercession, our infirmities rather. It isn't a matter in prayer that God just does it all for us, that the Word of God just boom, and there it is. It isn't a matter of I'll go sit down over here by Leon and say, "Okay, Lord, you go take care of that for me. I'm just going to sit here. Leon and I going to hold a conversation. Lord, you do that. There's a problem, Lord." It isn't that at all. You know what the verse says? It says, "I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me." Then the question is, who does it, me or Christ? Well, I can do them through Christ. You see, it isn't a matter of me just sitting down and saying, "Okay, Lord, everything's okay. You just take care of it and do it for me." No, I have to make a decision and a choice to walk by faith. You have to decide to let Christ live and work through you. You'll be the vessel when you make that faith choice to have the Word of God live through you, when you make the choice to walk by faith, well, your prayer life is just that. The Spirit of God comes alongside to help. He's inside of us, and He energizes the doctrine and takes the doctrine in our soul and enhances our accountability to it and promotes sensitivity to it and empowers us to comprehend how to take the truth of God's Word and apply it to the details of life. But He doesn't just zap do it. It says the Spirit also helps. He works in cooperation with us. How? When we pray. You see, our prayer life is an issue of communing with God over the details of His Word and how to take what His Word says and apply it in our daily life. That's what prayer is all about. And a failure to understand what prayer is today is to eliminate from your life and cause your life to be void of the thing that enhances and empowers and releases the energy of God's Word in your life. I've said many times, if you live day in and day out in your life without Pauline prayer, without praying according to the Pauline design for the edification of the believer, without praying in light of rightly dividing the Word of truth. I'm not talking about just praying. I'm not talking about counting beads. I'm not talking about reciting prayers. I'm not talking about spinning a prayer wheel. I'm not talking about having a list where you write everything down on and you check off what you think of the answers. I'm talking about praying in line with the reality of what God has in effect today. I'm not talking about going back into the Gospels or the Old Testament and quoting prayer promises that God didn't give to you and make out like God's doing them for you. I'm not talking about going over in Hebrews to Revelation over in the ages to come and the Scripture for those people in the future and claiming promises that God didn't make you and making out like, you know, you're some super saint or hero because you're doing that, or getting discouraged and burdened because things God didn't give you to do didn't work out. You've never been big enough a day in your life to make God do something He isn't going to do, that He hadn't promised you He would do for you. I'm talking about praying like I'm talking about when you get a hold to what prayer is today, the issue of communing with God Himself. God, the Holy Spirit, resides within our body. He witnesses with our spirit. Romans 8, verse 8:16 says the Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we're the children of God. Verse 26, likewise, the Spirit also helps our infirmities. One, He bears witness with our spirit. He resides in us and witnesses with our spirit to the reality of our identity in Christ. And He also helps our infirmities by making intercession for us as we pray. God, the Holy Spirit, supernaturally empowers and enables a prayer ministry in our life to take place, an enhancement of the doctrine in our heart to take place that transforms us and causes the truth of His Word, the truth of who we are in Christ, to become a living reality in the details of our life. It's really important. The mechanics of prayer are found in Romans chapter 8. Look back at verse number 9 and notice how what prayer is and how it works for us today. Romans chapter 8, verse number 9. He says, but you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of His. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. Do you notice that? If Christ be in you. You see what he says there? We have the Spirit of Christ in us. Do you understand, folks, that you and I have a relationship with Almighty God that the saints of the ages never dreamed about? Abraham was called the friend of God, and he never dreamed about having the relationship with Almighty God that the simplest member of the body of Christ has the instant that you trust Christ as your Savior. Moses was the great servant of the Lord, the great lawgiver to the nation Israel. His name occurs hundreds of times in relationship to God speaking to Israel. In fact, the Lord Jesus Christ in Mark chapter 1, when He's talking to the leper that He'd healed, He told him, said, go and show thyself to the priest and do what Moses commanded you to do. And you go back in Leviticus and see the commandment. It was Jehovah commanding them through Moses. I mean, Moses is a man of authority in the Word of God. He spoke face to face with God and had him communicate with him. And yet even a man like Moses never even dreamed about having the kind of a relationship with God that you and I have today. You see, you and I today, by virtue of the cross work of the Lord Jesus Christ, by virtue of who God has made us in His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, Jesus Christ lived on this earth and He ministered in the books of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Then He died at Calvary. He was raised again. He ascended into heaven, sent the Holy Spirit back on the apostles in Acts chapter 2. Then the fall of Israel takes place. He from heaven's glory saves Saul of Tarsus, makes Saul Paul the apostle, and gives to Paul the revelation of what he calls the mystery, a program that didn't exist back there, a program that wasn't made known back there, a program that wasn't revealed back there. It's revealed now through Paul, written down in his epistles, and it's the program of grace, the dispensation of grace in which he's forming the church, the body of Christ. Back here, the program is a prophetic program, a program of prophecy, a program that he's been making known since the foundation of the world. It focuses on the nation Israel, his kingdom people, and it's a program that functions on the basis of the law. Now we're in an entirely different kind of a program over here. You and I have an entirely different kind of thing that God's doing in here. And the moment you trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior in here, the moment you trust Him, God Almighty takes you and places you in the living oneness with His Son. And when God Almighty in heaven up here looks down from eternity and looks down at you, He sees you through the finality of the finished work of Christ at Calvary and the reality of the resurrection life of Jesus Christ is that which lives in us today. Here we are, members of the church, the body of Christ, and in this capacity, in this wonderful position of His grace, we have a relationship with Him that all the saints back there, if you took them all together, never dreamed of having the kind of a relationship. Look at what he says in verse 15, Romans 8, 15. For we have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. We're not back here under the law program, under the bondage, the program of the bondage of the law, functioning on the basis of fear. But we have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. You see, that's the whole issue. We know that we have this relationship with Him because the Spirit of God is in our heart to teach us to pray, Abba, Father. There's only one person in all the Word of God, one individual, that ever prayed to God the Father, Abba, Father. And that was the Lord Jesus Christ, the night that he was on his knees under the old olive tree there, the song says, in the Garden of Gethsemane. That night, in that Garden of Gethsemane, the Lord Jesus Christ prays, Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will be done, but thine. And in Mark chapter number 14, verse 36, he addresses God the Father as Abba, Father. Now what that means is that you and I here, as members of the body of Christ, His Spirit dwells in us, and by the Spirit of Christ, the Holy Spirit who belongs to Christ and who honors and glorifies only the Lord Jesus Christ. By the way, that's why He's called the Spirit of Christ there. He's come to glorify Christ. God, the Holy Spirit, never speaks of Himself. He never honors Himself. He never glorifies Himself. He does not live for Himself. He lives to honor and glorify and exalt and to talk about and to brag about and to focus on Jesus Christ. Anytime you find someone talking about praying to the Holy Spirit or God the Holy Spirit doing this and the Holy Spirit and honoring Him, you're finding someone walking in the flesh, not under the leadership of the Spirit of God, because He never leads anyone to focus on Him. The members of the Godhead live for the other members of the Godhead, never for themselves. The Father lives to exalt the Son. The Son lives to exalt the Father. The Spirit lives to exalt the Son because in doing that, He exalts the Father. All of them live for each other. The giving heart of God. God so loved the world that He gave. The heart of God is a heart of love and giving. The life of God is a life of living for the other. That's the divine life principle that He wanted Adam and Eve to understand in the garden and that He seeks to, that He by His Spirit has placed within us. So the Spirit of Christ that dwells in us gives us the capacity to speak to God the Father in the same identity, in the same words that God the Son. We have that kind of a position and a relationship. That's who we are in Christ. You understand, the moment you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, God, the Bible says God made Him to be sin for us. The one who knew no sin was made took our sin, and His soul was made an offering for our sin that we might be made the righteousness of God. Where? In Him. Not in ourself, but in Him. Who God has made us? In Him. He says that we are His workmanship, not ours, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, not what we're doing. The issue isn't my work, the issue is His work, what He's accomplishing, what He's doing, and what He's doing for Himself. With that kind of an identity and with that kind of a privilege to go before God, who by His Spirit resides in us, you understand that every thought you have, somebody says, well, when should I pray? What should I pray about? Do you understand that every thought that you have, if you're a believer today, if you're saved today, you've trusted Christ as your Savior, and you know that you've passed from death to life, you know that you have eternal life as a present possession, that all of your sins are paid for and forgiven because of the finished work of Christ at Calvary, and you've been made one with Him in His death, you've trusted Him and Him alone and Him completely, and you have His life. See, if you're saved today, do you realize that God the Holy Spirit resides inside of you? Every thought you have, He hears it. You know, we sing that song, My Jesus, I love Thee, I know. You know, and yet we got that, you know, we let Him into the living room of our life and the bedroom and the kitchen, but we got that closet up there in the attic, that we got stuff up there we don't want anybody messing with. And every now and then we go up there in that closet in our attic, you know, we open it up and we take out that stuff and we hold it and we say, it's mine, it's mine, it's mine, I love it. And it doesn't work that way. Because those areas that you think in your life, well, I've cordoned them off and I'm not letting God, He hears every thought. Yeah, that's a staggering thing. You don't have to go to a church building to pray. You don't have to go to some bellhops and busboys, some priest or mediators for you to get to God. If you're saved today, you carry Him around with you. Now, in time past, I know that people say, well, you know, my religion, way back in Israel's program, you know, if you're back there trying to be an Old Testament Jew under the law, well, then be that. But you ought to be that. Quit claiming to be something else. Don't claim to be a Christian if you're living back yonder. Okay? They had to go to a special building where God dwelt. He didn't live in them. He lived in a special building. They had to have a special class of priestly ministers to go in and intercede for them because they couldn't go in themselves. And they had to come and do all, keep these short accounts and all that kind of stuff with God. But that's not who we are. Don't mistake who we are. The moment you trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, God made you accepted in the Beloved. He said that we are blameless. We stand blameless before Him. And so forth. We're completely and totally complete in Christ. That's a wonderful identity. Because of who we are, He says to us in Romans 8, verse number 26 here, likewise the Spirit also helps our infirmities. For we know not what to pray for as we ought. The Holy Spirit is in us to help our weaknesses. Now, we naturally have a weakness. We don't know how God can best be glorified in any given situation in our life. When He says we know not what to pray for as we ought, He's not saying that we don't know how prayer works. He's saying we understand the doctrine, and we understand how to pray, but there are some things we need to learn. We need to learn how to take what we know in the Scripture and best apply it to the details and the questions and the circumstances of our life. The name of the game in the Christian life, excuse me, is the glory of God. Paul said, whether by life or by death, that Christ might be magnified in my body. And that's it. You see, the issue in the Christian life is that Jesus Christ and His life might live through us. The issue isn't being safe. The issue isn't being rich. The issue isn't being healthy. The issue isn't being able to live a quiet, peaceable life with no problems and difficulties in your, you know, just this quiet, safe little life. That's not who we are. If you know anything about the history of the church over the last 1900 years, you know that your crowd and my crowd, if you're saved, the Bible-believing crowd, is not the crowd of people that will live in a safe life. You know, you're going to, a lot of Christian people, a lot of genuinely saved people, you're going to kind of be an embarrassing experience, I suppose, to get up to into heaven and have to live next to some of these saints that have hazarded their lives for the cause of Christ and gone down in the flames of martyrdom and gone down in the flames of persecution and sadistic torture at the hands of religion, state religions down through the centuries. And yet, and we live in peace and quiet, and you have a little problem, you know, a little disturbance in your life, and you just, you just go to pieces, you know, like all, everything's going to come apart. What God wants is tough believers. He wants you to be tough. He wants you to be able to endure because you're going to endure. And that grace would sustain you, and you'd let His grace sustain you. And that's what prayer is about. You see, this ministry of the Holy Spirit intercedes for us. He desires in me God's glory, and He helps by willingly, by willing and working in me His own good pleasure. Philippians chapter number 2, Paul writes to the Philippians, and he says in verse 12 and 13, wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God that works in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. When he says work out your salvation, he's not saying figure out how to get saved. Not at all. You already have the salvation. Chapter 1, verse 6, he says, He which hath begun a good work in you shall perform it. It's the work's already there. He's talking about working it out. Put the details together so that what God has put in you can work out through your body of flesh for His glory. So the life in you can work out through you. And the way that happens is you have always obeyed. What is that? Obeying the Word of God. For it's God that works in you. How does He do that? Both to will. You know where the will comes from? It comes from Him. It comes from His Word. And to do. Where does the doing? Where does the energy? 1 Thessalonians 2:13 says it's the Word of God that works effectually in you that believe. You see, the Word of God works when you believe it. And what God the Holy Spirit does is He comes in and He makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. We'll talk about that next time. I want you to see this thing about His intercessory ministry now. See, it's not enough just to know the doctrine. We need the ministry of the Holy Spirit to take what we know and make it become effective, become operative in our lives as we walk by faith. And that's the mechanics of how that happens. That's the reason why it's so important to rightly divide the word of truth. Everything else, if you're not rightly dividing the word and you're not walking in light of the word of God rightly divided, you're going back over here and other passages back there that aren't yours, that aren't about you and that aren't to you as members of the body of Christ, and you're trying to claim those passages as though that's what God's doing in your life, you are literally hindering the empowering and enlightening ministry of the Holy Spirit in your life. You are hindering His ability to make intercession for us, for you, to reach down to take the truth of the doctrine and permeate it down into the deepest levels of your life. Now, when He says the Spirit helps our infirmities, there's an illustration of that. I'm from down south. Many years ago, I went out. We had a fireplace and wood-burning stove in the home, and in order to have a wood-burning stove work, you got to have wood to burn in it. So we would go out in the summertime and chop wood. One of the brothers took me out one time. We were out with a cross-cut saw, and I'd never seen one before. And he's explaining to me, here's how you work a cross-cut saw. You put it across the log there, and you pull. And then he pulls his side back, and then you pull your side back, and he pulls it. He said, don't push, just pull. And as long as I pulled, then I'd let go and go back with it, and then I'd pull back, he'd pull it back, I'd pull it back. Everything worked fine. As long as we cooperated and we worked together, each doing our part, the saw just flew through the log. But, you know, as time would go on, I tended to forget about that. And I thought, well, he's getting tired and I'm tired. I'll help him a little. And so as I would pull back, I began to push back. And I pulled back and I pushed. And the second time I did that, I dug the teeth of the saw into the log. And my end of the saw went woo-woo-woo-woo-woo back and forth like that. And I almost, it almost took my teeth out when it hit me in the face of the handle. You know what happened? When I cooperated and worked that saw according to the way it worked, it got the job done. When I didn't, I got nothing but problems. The Spirit also helps our infirmities. As you take the Word of God rightly divided, that's why we talk about it week after week here. As we take that truth and apply it to our lives by faith, God the Holy Spirit takes who we are in Christ and makes the reality of that live in us for His glory. Anything less than that is us. Anything less than that is religion, the flesh. This is Christ living in you, the hope of glory. Until next time, Maranatha.
Thank you, Brother Jordan, for that message from the Word of God. Friends, we have a cassette tape that we'd like you to have to go along today's study. The tape is entitled, How Prayer Works. It's yours free of charge. It's our way of saying thanks for listening. We'll be happy to see that you receive your free copy along with a free subscription to our monthly Bible study, The Grace Journal, if you simply write us here at The Message of Grace. The address should be on your screen. That's The Message of Grace, Box 97, Bloomingdale, Illinois, 60108. If you prefer, you can also call us during regular business hours at area code 708-529-0520. Request tape offer number 293. That's tape offer number 293. The Message of Grace is a ministry of Grace School of the Bible, and we're glad you've been with us here today. If our study together has been a help to you, we'd happy to put you in touch with a Bible study in this area where the message of God's wonderful grace is proclaimed from His rightly divided Word. And friend, if you are still not sure of salvation, that your sins are forgiven, and that you have eternal life as a present possession, let us know. We'll be happy to send you some gospel literature that will show you the way. That address again is The Message of Grace, Box 97, Bloomingdale, Illinois, 60108. Thanks for being with us today, and God's best until we meet next time for another Message of Grace.